Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back joining me again this week as we're diving into God's Word. And if you were able to join us yesterday, we know we're spending some time in Luke chapter 4, getting to know Jesus. And I think it's like funny because you might be saying, of course we're getting to know Jesus. This is what this is all about. That's so vague. That's so general. But just the inspiration that I've been having over and over again is so often in our lives, we do this with so many things in our lives. Once we get used to doing something, it's great to have habits. It's great to have things where we're like, okay, I know how to do this now. It's in my routine, all that kind of stuff. And it's amazing when we get to a place where Bible reading, where sacraments, where our spiritual life is habitual. But sometimes we can become so familiar with the things like we know about Jesus that we're not continuing to get to know him. And I've just had, honestly, ever since I came back from Africa, I had this experience there where I think you might have heard it on the show, where we had this mass that had like 35,000 people there. And afterwards, we had a Eucharistic procession and Jesus in the monstrance was just passing through this mass of humanity. And as I watched it, I began to think about the reality that that was Jesus's reality when he was on earth. That Jesus, a real human person, a historical person, I was listening to this podcast episode of a new show that I like. It's a secular news show, and they often do interviews. The woman I like is an interviewer, and she's actually Jewish, but she's really been seeking the Lord, and seeking what, you know, in the way that she knows, and I believe that the Lord is revealing truth to her. But I've been thinking about this so much because she said something at the beginning of this interview that she was doing with another Jewish woman around Christmas, you know, about the early Christianity and all this kind of stuff was the interview. And she began the episode by saying, I've been obsessively thinking about the person of Jesus Christ. And for her, she only knows Jesus as this historical person who lived. And this idea that even amongst people who don't know him as the Lord and Savior, who don't know him as the Messiah, that it's not like, oh, he's just important for us because he's the Messiah. But Jesus was this person that shook the foundations of the world with his true human and godly presence on earth, that he changed the course of history. Even people who are secular historians agree he's the most important person ever to live in history. And so I just had this inspiration of Jesus, I want to know you more. I want to know more about you. Show me your personality. Show me who you are. Show me what you're like. More and more and more. We want to seek you and we want to find you. And so that's what I've been getting into the Gospels and I've been reading. Jesus, what were you spending your time doing? What were the kind of things that you said? What does that show me about you and about your relationship to the world, about your relationship to your Father, about your relationship to me? So yesterday we began in Luke chapter 4 and we got through the one verse saying Jesus is coming out of the desert where he's tested and he comes into his public ministry in the power of the Spirit. He returns to Galilee in the power of the Spirit and the report concerning him began to grow. And so we're beginning to get an image, a picture of Jesus, not just as a baby, not just as a carpenter, but somebody when the Lord called him, when the Father calls him to begin his public life, everybody is interested. Jesus is a magnetic figure from the beginning, and the Holy Spirit comes upon him. The Holy Spirit is already upon him because he's Jesus. But the Holy Spirit comes upon him and anoints him for his mission in a particular way. And things just begin to, in a sense, to get blown out of the water. And that's what I want to talk about today, is what does it look like for Jesus to be anointed in the Spirit? So let's pray. We're going to get back into Luke chapter 4. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, you were tested in the desert. And you remained obedient to the Father so that you could begin your ministry, so you could preach the good news, so you could walk and talk on this earth, preparing each and every heart to receive you when you would die on the cross and rise again from the dead and offer each and every human being eternal life with the Father. And so I pray today, Lord, that you would penetrate our hearts, that you would bring us closer to you, who you truly are, as our friend, as our Savior, as our Lord, as one who's delivered us from death, and show us in your word how you are, how you were when you walked and talked on this earth. And Lord Jesus, give us a fascination with you. And we pray this all in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, again, I'm going to read Luke 4, 14 through 19. And then a little bit later this week, we're going to pick up in chapter 20, or in verse 20. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And a report concerning him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue, as his custom was on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and to recover the sight to the blind and to set liberty to those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Again, as we're reading here, there's so much here. There's so much that I'm getting excited about, because remember, we're looking for Jesus. We're looking for Jesus. Jesus, as we read this, what are you doing? What are you like? What was your time on earth like? We want to know. We want to see you. So Jesus returns to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the report of him. Remember, we talked about yesterday, Jesus isn't just walking around like kicking up dust, being like, "What's up, guys? Anyone want to hear me? Like, anyone want to see me? How's everyone doing? Come out to my talk." He's not out handing out flyers. People aren't like, "Hey, like, here's a flyer for Jesus." Like, John or the apostles are not going ahead of him being like, "Come see this guy, like, get a ticket," all this kind of stuff. He comes out, and as he begins his public ministry, already people are talking about him. People are saying, "This is the guy. This is the one. Did you hear about Jesus?" John the Baptist said, "He is the one." They said he's the Lamb of God. They're saying he's the Messiah. They're saying he could be the one. His fame is already growing. And 15 says he taught in their synagogues. So Jesus is going around. Imagine a man coming into your churches teaching with authority. Already we've heard, we're in chapter 4, already in Luke multiple times it said, he taught with authority. The people were astonished at the words that he said. The people marveled at the things that he did, the authority with which he spoke. We're getting a picture of Jesus. Imagine Jesus, think of him. A man, imagine a Middle Eastern man. Don't imagine just like a white guy, a white, random white dude in jeans walking around. You know, we're talking about a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter. So he's probably rugged, you know, strong. He walks in. He's been going to these synagogues, as we see in the next couple of verses. Jesus was a good Jew. He wasn't doing home church. He goes to the synagogue. He keeps the law. He was going with his family as he's growing up. We know from the scriptures, Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. He was presented in the temple by his parents. And so he goes from attending the synagogue to teaching in the synagogue. And Jesus, remember, before he goes into the desert, before he begins his public ministry, he's a carpenter. He wasn't a teacher. And there was people that were trained to be rabbis. Think of Paul. Paul spent his entire childhood learning under the great rabbis. And then he himself becomes a rabbi, and he's studied and he's learned in the law because he was a rabbi. We hear about these rabbis in the scriptures. We hear about them historically. Jesus was a carpenter. And so you have a carpenter coming out of 40 days of fasting in the desert, walking into synagogues and beginning to teach. And not only, it wasn't like he was teaching and people were like, "Oh, that was pretty good. You know, like, we should let him teach next week. You know, that was a pretty good Sunday school lesson," or he had really good points, or it was set up really well. He taught in their synagogues. And when he taught, he was glorified by all. We know Jesus is Word made flesh. He's the only Son of God. But put yourself in these first century shoes. They know that he is Joseph's son. He's Jesus of Nazareth. He's a carpenter. And people are saying he could be the Messiah. And just think about Jesus. He's a carpenter walking into these places. But because he's the only Son of God and he's anointed by the Spirit, as he speaks, as he talks, as he teaches, people are magnetized to him. Not because he's a good presenter. Not because he knows how to get a crowd going. It's not saying he got a standing ovation. It's not saying that people really like to hear from him. He spoke. When Jesus spoke and Jesus' presence was made known, all the people glorified him. So from the beginning, they begin to ascribe to him glory. Something that is only meant for God. And so through the anointing of the Spirit in his teaching, as he begins his public ministry, this carpenter, this humble man, his Godhead is already shining forth. Friends, we're getting a picture of Jesus. Think about what he would have been like to hear from him. So magnetizing, so powerful, speaking with so much authority that people, has anybody ever spoken that you might be like, oh, that person might be the Son of God? No. But his lordship, even in his humility, that just in his teaching, just in his presence, he's drawing out from people the deepest desire, that question that we've talked about on this show that the Jews would ask, could he be the one? Could he be the one? This man speaks with authority. Everybody's talking about him. We have to go to the synagogue to see this man, Jesus, teach, not because he's the most awesome, not because it's like, oh, he gets big crowds. Oh, not because it's like he's putting on a show, but because there is something there and what they're recognizing is his divinity. Because only divinity draws out true glory. There can be false praise, there can be idolatry. Assigning glory to someone that is not God is idolatry. But they're not doing idolatry, they're giving him glory. He comes out of the desert in the power of the Spirit, and the report of him is growing. People are whispering about this man, Jesus, and when he teaches, they give him glory. Jesus, as we're seeking you, we want to see you for who you truly are, that you are God, but you lived and you walked and you talked on this earth. And friends, this is what he was doing, and I love what we will see. As I began to read the Gospel of Luke again, in almost every single paragraph, it says renown of him was growing. He was teaching. He was healing. People were coming to see him. He was not sitting around. He begins his ministry and he's about the work of the Father. And that's what we see even in just these first two verses. Jesus moving in the power of the Spirit, teaching in the very synagogues that he sat in. We're going to get into this more tomorrow as we get into the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah that Jesus will fulfill. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.